universal harmony, economic unity, and one world religion, supporting political oneness in a one world order or government, as supported by the late Pope Francis. That may come as a shock. The belief we are all on a journey soon to culminate in our becoming Christ through globalization of Christ consciousness. There is a reason why the previous Pope, just deceased, indicated that all religions are worshiping the same God. In other words, from his view, we're all proceeding to the same goal, and Christ consciousness, this idea that we are one with the world, one with the earth, and one with God. Regardless of what our persuasions are, regardless of what our beliefs really are. And then in addition to that, we have transhumanism, man's new quest for immortality. According to Jason Silva's documentary in 2012, he says we're turning into gods. We want to transcend our biological limitations. So what then is meant by words transcending biological limitations? Well, the answer to that question defines the heart and soul of the meaning of scientific salvation. So if we're becoming gods, then science is becoming the methodology by which we are becoming gods. Therefore, by definition, then we ought to be trusting science absolutely, because it is the power to become God. So what should we understand for the stated goal, the words transcending biological limitations means? Well, the meaning and implications isn't really a mystery. What is simply distilled in those words is a revelation both of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and profound blasphemous chutzpah declaring these things. One, I'm a biological being, yet made in the image of God. I'm not satisfied with being merely a being of flesh and blood with heart and soul. I will transcend this mortal being and become immortal through scientific salvation, that is, technology. I will not die, but live forever, eventually through technological salvation. I will become transcendent, and together we will finally rule the world, and I and we will become God. You think that's far out? Friends, that's exactly what is believed. In fact, transcending biological limitations has one ultimate goal: being immortal, that is, becoming God. So the cover story of Time Magazine, February 21st, 2011, announced this amazing title: 2045, the year man becomes immortal. In other words, becomes God. Wow. The coming technological singularity, according to Werner Vinge, who wrote the book The Singularity, said, I'd be surprised if the singularity had not happened by 2030. That's 5 years from now. How does all this connect? How does this connect with AI? Does it connect at all? We want to talk about that here on Viewpoint today. And quite frankly, friends, we're not playing a game. This is not sensationalism. This is the real deal. We're dealing with the real deal. A modern quasi-religion whose daily miracles are commonplace, ascending the human race. Viewpoint does determine destiny, and today we're speaking about that very pointedly. You may recall just a few months ago, maybe a few weeks ago, we did a program here concerning a book that was written by Handel Jones, called When AI Rules the World. It's available here through this ministry for $25 on our website, saveus.org, When AI Rules the World. A very profound, provocative interview that we did with Handel Jones. But today we're going to take it even further. We're going to take a look at the rise of technopaganism. When AI becomes God, versus when AI serves God. And the question that was asked by an attorney also who deals with tech experts asked the question, with AI, are we summoning a demon? Again, welcome to Viewpoint. We're confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective here today on Viewpoint, as always. And it's a delight that you have joined us. By the way, for those of you that have been wondering how you could best support Save America Ministries, since, as I've indicated to you, over the past year, our donations have dropped off rather significantly and a bit alarmingly. To what we attribute that, we do not know. And so, just so that you know, we rely exclusively upon the donations of our listeners. We do not have commercial support, because the moment you have commercial support means you have to cater to the whims of commerce. If that person or business that wants to support you disagrees with something you say, then you have to eliminate that from the conversation. And we're not going to do that. God didn't call me to lead the practice of law at the height of my career, to plead the cause of commercialism, but rather his cause in the land as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation, America's greatest crisis hour. It dawned on me just the other day, gold has now hit $3,500 an ounce. Unbelievable. It's the highest ever. And it dawned on me that we've had several of our listeners over the past couple of years who have seen the benefit of donating their coins, silver and or gold, to Save America Ministries. And so I wanted to share with you why that might be important for you, certainly for us, but perhaps for you. Because let's suppose that you purchased your gold coins at, say, $1,800, $1,500, or $2,000 an ounce, and it's now worth $3,500 an ounce. You can donate that coin to Save America Ministries and be credited with the value, the current value, at $3,500 an ounce or whatever it is at the time that you actually make the donation, and you're not going to have to pay capital gains tax on the difference between what you paid for it and what you donated it for. That's an incredible benefit, not only for us, but for you. And you might want to consider that. As I said, we've had a number of people who have done that. The last one, a gentleman, as I recall, sent us even 8 or 10 gold coins at a time when the value was $2,500 an ounce, which at that time was very high. Now it's $3,500 an ounce. Just something to consider, along with the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart about donating.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
The rise of techno-paganism, the gods of technology, demons and all of it. That's an article that came from John Stone Street and Glenn Sunshine, breakpoint.org, that was sent to us by one of our listeners. And so I want to share quite a bit of this article with you, not the entirety, but almost the entirety, because it really has something to say to each one of us. So I hope you'll listen very carefully. Then again, we have another article by Jeff Bayard, When AI Becomes God Versus When AI Serves God. And then finally, by James Herson, With AI Are We Summoning a Demon? So, again, we're connecting in with the chapter in my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages, called Scientific Salvation. Scientific Salvation. And when you read that chapter of the book, which, by the way, a lot of people may not quite understand, that it would be included in a book on Messiah. But the reality is, as the Bible teaches, there are going to be many countermanding messiahs, many kinds of beliefs that are competing for that of Savior of the world, Savior of mankind. And one of those is technology. And it's a big one, including AI. So the book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages, is my next to latest book. It's a $22 book. Yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org. It's going to be eye-opening to you. It doesn't just talk about scientific salvation. It talks about all kinds of different competing, the United Nations Savior, the globalist Messiah, the cafeteria Christ, the mystery of moral messianism, how things are done by salvation by syncretism, environmental deification, the Marxist Messiah, and so many other, evolutionary Christ, the Masonic Messiah, Noahide laws, all of this in that amazing, very unusual book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. Again, it's a $22 book, yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org. You can call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check and $6 for postage and handling. Today, we actually augment that with a specific focus on AI for the balance of the program today. A venture capitalist and longevity researcher, Brian Johnson, discussed how not to die. While Johnson's theories on indefinite life extension are interesting, it was his comments about artificial intelligence that were more striking, says this article. I think the irony is that we told stories of God creating us, he said, and I think the reality is we're creating God in the form of superintelligence. So he says, if you ask yourself, what have we imagined God to be? Well, we are building God in the form of technology. We will have the same characteristics. The irony is that human storytelling got it exactly in reverse, that we are the creators of God, that he will create God in our own image. Well, the interesting thing is that this was brought before AI ever showed up on the scene, before any chatbot was ever invented. It happened in 1993, April 5th, 1993. It was Time magazine. On the front cover was a cross with pictures of maybe 100 different people, little faces all around the cross, and in the lower right-hand corner were these words, the generation that forgot God. Now, bear in mind, this was 1993, the very year we formed Save America Ministries, because the whole world, especially America, was turning on its axis from 1992 to 1993. I believe that's the reason why God called me to leave the practice of law at that precise moment in time, because there would never be any turning back. It was a call to woo and to warn professing Christians to prepare for the end of the age. And that's what we've been doing for the past 30 years here on this radio program, confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective, preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. So what did that magazine article say? Fascinating. Americans were flooding back to church after Gulf War I, and they had been afraid, and it was a very patriotic time. And Time magazine said, but church will never again be the same. And here was their reason. Remember, this was the feature article. It was called The Church Search, April 5th, 1993. They said, Americans are flooding back to church, but church will never again be the same because Americans are looking for a custom-made God, one made in their own image. And now we're doing it. The custom-made God, transhumanism, AI, it's all coming together, mixed with biology, the secular scientific salvation, New Age Aquarianism. Remember that song back in the 60s? This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Everything was going to be changed, and it was all going to be a glorious heaven. And we'll create it ourselves. That's what it's going to be. Christ consciousness, and now we've got AI to accomplish the job. Why would we need the Word of God anymore? Why would we need the Spirit of God? Why would we need any of that? We've got AI. So, where does that leave us? Well, Johnson's comments, this is Brian Johnson's comments, a researcher, reflect a worldview that integrates technology and spirituality. He said, people have always looked to their God to save them. For technophiles, technology takes on the role and functions of God in the universe, from basic provision to keeping humanity safe from disasters. But AI brings an added twist. Doing the most cutting-edge technological work believe that they are creating new forms of super-intelligent, God-like, sentient life. And the humans must either learn to merge with it as part of the transhumanist project or put fail-safes in place to prevent our new gods from turning against us. He goes on to write, there are also some who believe that AI is a vehicle through which trans-dimensional non-human intelligences are communicating with us. In this view, not all AI is simply computer algorithms. Some are better understood as demonic, more disturbing things AI has to come up with. For example, religious studies professor Diana Pasulka points to Simone Plant, an AI and quantum computing expert, who believes that superintelligent non-material beings can interact with us at the quantum level. Thus, quantum computing enables them to open up to us new realms of knowledge. Some in the tech world even employ meditative strategies through which they believe they're able to contact these entities, who then download information to them that is used to develop new technologies. This includes people who work in biotechnology, as well as AI and quantum computing. More than a few of these researchers include high-level members of the military and intelligence communities, believing what is being encountered are trans-dimensional beings, not space aliens. Diana Pasulka thinks that these beliefs and the interconnected groups that embrace them representing an emerging religion, which, for lack of a better term, could be called techno-paganism. Techno-paganism. Devotees of techno-paganism believe that revelations about these non-human intelligences will soon shake our worldviews to the core. So the writers, John Stonetreat and Glenn Sunshine, of this Breakpoint article say, if this sounds weird, it is. However, these conversations being had among powerful, intelligent, and influential industry leaders, we should remember the clear warnings of Scripture that demons are real and seek to deceive people, even the elect. According to the Apostle Paul, you may recall back in the first chapter of the book of Romans, humans would always tend to worship what is created rather than the Creator. And the enemies of our soul will feed that fascination as much as possible. Technology, regardless of how powerful, is still created and not the Creator. So our worship belongs to God, and our fear is reserved for Him alone, not technology. And not aliens or whatever else you may call them out in the hinterlands, the netherworld, or whatever they are. Don't get caught up with this, my friends. So, what do you do when a pastor decides to create an AI sermon? He's not preparing his own sermon, but he's preparing an AI sermon. In other words, he's not even looking to the Holy Spirit whatsoever to inspire, to direct. He's looking to some artificial intelligence that has been melded together by vast sources of inputs, whatever they may be, to create a document, a message that purports to come from God. Now, when you think about that, friends, try to think very seriously about that, especially if you're a pastor. If you could rely upon AI that you cannot control to create a sermon because you're either unwilling or unable to do so, you don't have any inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you're way too busy to do your job, you really aren't walking with the Lord the way you should be, so you've got to have some outside influence. So where do you go? AI. In other words, instead of looking to God and His Holy Spirit, you're looking to AI. Are you not, in effect, creating an artificial God? You're shifting your focus and your trust from God to AI. For the most part, and I've been speaking now for about 40 years, for the most part, after having developed many, many hundreds of sermons and outlines, series and so on, do you know that I almost never go back to any of them to regurgitate for something that's coming up? Do you know why I don't do that? Because I want fresh revelation. I want to hear the voice of the Lord for now. I want to be able to connect in with the people today. Not what God gave me 20 years ago or 30 years ago, however good that was. It was a great outline. Might be great for a book, but it's not what I want to use to speak to people today, because I want the anointing of the Holy Spirit to pierce the minds and hearts of the people today. Jesus did not expect his disciples to regurgitate precise words and so on that had been generated in his sermons. He expected them to hear the voice of the Lord and to speak it so as to communicate to the people before them in the way that could be understood, that the Holy Spirit would bring power to the word of God, because the Holy Spirit is watching over the word to perform it, not AI. So if you knew that your pastor or a pastor in your denomination made the habit of using AI to prepare his sermons, what would you think? Is he under God's authority or is he under technology's authority? And has AI, in effect, become his God? You see, what we do here on this program, we don't just report facts. We apply the facts to and the direction of life and so on within the context of what God's word has to say, so that it brings correction where necessary and transformation where necessary, because where there's correction, there needs to be change. And where there's change, it has to improve. It has to be transformation, not regression. That's why we do this. Not to be troublemakers, but to pursue the truth and to keep us honest in our minds and our hearts, yes, even in our ministries. But does AI serve God or become God? Next question.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
I can't tell you what a blessing it is to be able to join you every single day, Monday through Friday, to confront the deepest issues of our hearts and homes from God's eternal perspective. It is an amazing blessing to be able to do so. It's also an amazing challenge because it's like paddling a canoe straight up Niagara Falls, because we're having to deal with things that a lot of people don't want to deal with. They'd rather deal with political issues than they would with personal issues dealing with their relationship to the Lord, dealing with their own lives. Why? Because it's easier. I don't have to change. If I'm dealing with somebody else's political issues over there, they have to change. But when the fickle finger of faith comes back to me and I have to change, all of a sudden, well, I don't much want to hear it. Get the message? Now you understand why it would be so difficult to raise resources to keep the program on the air. It's not like other programs. When you teach or preach generic messages, which basically are messages that were delivered weeks, months, and even years ago that were taped, they're not calculated to speak to the people today. They're information messages. They're generalized gospel messages, but they do not probe the deepest recesses of the minds and hearts. They just don't. And that's why major ministries can raise money that way. And those broadcasts are supported by major ministries. They have very deep pockets. That's how they keep on the air. This is very different than that. Very, very different than that. And as one listener early on, when this program came on the air, say, you just can't listen to Viewpoint Long and not be changed. You have to change. You have to respond. You just cannot listen and not feel, hear the voice of the Holy Spirit probing into your own mind and heart. Okay, what am I going to do with that? Okay? So, that being the case, I want to urge you to seriously consider becoming a partner with us. Yes, we need your prayers, but prayers are not going to pay the bills for the radio stations and other satellite and so on that require a lot of money. Right now, as we speak, I have an opportunity. It came to me from a gentleman who is the head of one of the general manager of one of the significant radio network, Christian radio networks in the country. He came to me because he had worked with me a number of years ago and loved what we did. He said, can we work together again? I'd love to have you back on our stations. I said, you know what? It's about money, because we'd love to do that. We would love to do that, but the resources are so slim, and it's very challenging. And he said, I understand. I know what you do and why you do it. I really want you to come on. So we have that opportunity. But how do we seize that opportunity when, for the past year, our donations have diminished by over $1,000 a month? How do we do that? You say, well, that doesn't sound like very much money. Well, it might sound like a lot of money to you if you only understood that our complete annual, you can call it a budget, is about $130,000. Do you know that that's less than one-tenth of most major ministry budgets? Why? Because of what we do here on this program. That's why the message is radically different. It's a life-changing message. It's not designed to be evangelistic. It's designed to be discipling, to teach people how to follow the Lord and to get their lives in order to please Him and also to be prepared for His second coming. And we take that seriously, and we're not willing to compromise on it. I would rather go off the air than to compromise on the message. It's not worth it. We're not here to market a message. We're here to present a message. Marketing always changes the message in one way or the other. So please seriously consider becoming a partner with us. And you can do that in a number of ways. One, you can call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You can go on our website, saveus.org, and sign up for a regular, we call it an automatic gift every month of X number of dollars that you decide. And then at some point, if that's not working for you, if something happens, you can call us and we will make whatever change you ask, and it will happen within 30 days. It'll happen almost instantly. Some people actually will write to us or call us and say, you know what? I want to increase my gift every month. And that's great too. So in other words, we are very careful to follow the desires and the respects of those who are listening and those who value what we're doing. We're not here to raise money for ourselves. I don't receive a single dime and never have from Save America Ministries. My office administrator doesn't receive a single dime from Save America Ministries. So all of your gifts, all of your donations go to get the message out directly. It's fascinating. I'm not aware of any other ministry like that. Maybe there are. I'm just not aware of it. So then, as I mentioned earlier, one mechanism might be, for instance, since the price of gold has just gone up to $3,500 an ounce, which is a record by far. So very likely, if you own gold, you purchased it somewhere around $1,500 to $1,800 an ounce, maybe $2,000 an ounce, and now it's $3,500 an ounce. That's massive appreciation, capital gain. Now, if you tried to sell that, you got to pay capital gains tax on the difference between what you paid and what you now sell it for. But if you donate it, you get the value of the current value as a donation and pay no capital gains. So it's a blessing for those who can benefit from that kind of a donation, and also for us as well. It's just an idea. The same was true with silver. It's gone up to about $35 an ounce, up from $13 to $15 an ounce. So again, you've got the same kind of situation going on. Now, we're not here to beg you. I'm offering some situations to bring to your attention that you might not be aware of, and then we trust the Lord from there. He trusts you, we trust him, and we go on from there. Okay, now, when AI becomes God versus when AI serves God, very interesting. Jeff Bayard writes this article, "The Unseen Challenge. Artificial intelligence stealthily infiltrates life's daily rhythms. It slips into schoolwork, bedtime apps, voice assistants, and entertainment, creating an ambient, almost invisible presence in our homes and in our children's minds. AI doesn't announce its arrival. It assimilates slowly, one interaction at a time, until what was once a helpful tool is now a trusted authority. Many Christians still think of AI as a distant innovation, something out there for tech people to worry about. But the reality is that it's here. It's already shaping our children's imaginations, our spiritual habits, and even how sermons are prepared. It's about the gradual replacement of truth with trend, wisdom with data, and the Holy Spirit with machine logic. What once seemed like science fiction has quietly become a rival religion, one not carved out from stone or wood, but crafted from code and cloud servers. It's a belief system that subtly replaces scripture with an algorithm, truth with personalization, and godly authority with synthetic empathy. This is the moment when AI becomes God in the minds of many, displacing the authority of the Word and the intimacy of walking with Christ." Now, before the break, I was sharing with you the issue that pastors are facing and indeed they are, big time, of whether to create sermons by using AI. Now, if you want to start in that, you can create your whole sermon that way. I sure wouldn't want to present such a sermon because there's no inspiration in it. There's not even any perspiration in it. You just put out the information, the request on Google or whatever, and out spits this so-called sermon generated by a digital force called AI, artificial intelligence. So, we presented the issues with regard to that. Now let me ask you another question. An article came out just a few weeks ago. Can AI become a substitute for the Holy Spirit? Now, I alluded to that earlier in the program. Can we expect that, let's suppose that we pray to God, okay, Lord, give me a message for next Sunday or a month from now. Here we go, and you go to Google or whatever you're going to go to, chat box, whatever it is, you're going to go there, and you're going to say, okay, now I'm waiting for the sermon. So who are you trusting? Are you trusting God, or are you trusting AI, artificial intelligence? The answer, my friend, no matter how you want to twist it, is you're trusting artificial intelligence. You're not trusting God, because God speaks to us. He is a living God, and His Spirit is living, or supposed to be living, in and through us. So if we're trusting AI to be a surrogate Holy Spirit, we have in fact made AI our God. Wow. Is that some kind of idolatry or not? We'll be right back. And are we summoning a demon through AI?
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Will humans be satisfied to be like God, or will we persist to become God? The goal is to ascend the human race. The warning has come from Andrew Torba, the CEO of Gab.com, who asserts that the tech giants are looking at creating a post-human race, destroying our humanity by appending technology to our bodies and, they believe, to our souls. Forbes magazine calls this transhumanism. In other words, trying to go beyond the human and actually be translated into God Himself. In fact, it can be fairly argued, said Andrew Torba, that technology is a modern quasi-religion whose daily miracles are commonplace. Quite interesting. Very interesting indeed. By the way, if you do not have a copy of my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages, you're going to want to get a copy of it. The whole chapter there dealing with scientific salvation is going to blow your mind, along with all the other chapters that are going to open up areas of the competing forces for Messiah in our age, in our generation, that you probably were not even aware of, and they're profound. Absolutely profound, and they will be choreographed together in order to achieve the one world religion, to undergird the one world global government that will undergird the final global rebuilding of the Tower of Babel to usher in the counterfeit Messiah, the Antichrist. It's a $22 book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. It's yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check and $6 for postage and handling. In fact, I'm going to finish with a quote from Technocracy News and Trends as we wrap up here today, right from that book, Scientific Salvation. But before we go there, let us continue with Jeff Bayard's article concerning when AI becomes God versus when AI serves God. The term AI God refers to the growing trend of treating artificial intelligence as an all-knowing, always listening, morally neutral authority, one that increasingly displaces God's word as the final truth. But as the scripture warns in Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Closely related to this is transmorphosis, a worldview that seeks to redefine or erase the God-given nature of humanity. This includes ideas like gender fluidity, human enhancement, and the merging of biology with machines, that is transhumanism. It teaches that transformation comes not through Christ, but through technology or self-actualization, very seeds of rebellion against God's created order. So, it's happening. It's coming into real-world examples when AI becomes God in daily life, like AI companions in kids' apps, school curriculum and SEL tools, the AI Jesus, like in Switzerland, faith-based chatbots, children and AI homework, and then in our churches, AI sermons, tech pressure, AI study tools misused, all of that. And it's just coming in like a flood. So, you may be familiar with the name Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI. He experienced what he called a very strange extreme AI vertigo. Casey Newton, a former senior editor of The Verge, discovered that certain individuals who are working with AI are having nightmares about it. She says something dark seems to be hovering around some of those who are involved in AI's development. In 2014, that was 11 years ago, Elon Musk spoke at a symposium where he warned, here's his quote, "With artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon," unquote. Let me repeat that in case you missed it. Elon Musk spoke at a symposium where he warned, "With artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon." He's not even a Christian. What's he talking about? Well, let's go on. Many of us have come to realize that technology is in no way a replacement for the people in our lives, writes the attorney James Herson. Yet many users of AI are routinely involved with replacement people in the form of AI models that produce human-like characteristics. Current AI apps are trained with human-generated data that is processed through human-created algorithms, which are created to produce responses that sound as though they actually are human beings. Are there similarities between AI and Ouija boards, he asked. Yes. That would be the appropriate response. There's a great similarity between Ouija boards and AI, says this attorney. If a Ouija board has served in the past as a medium through which the demonic is able to communicate with an unwitting subject, Could it be that AI has an equally dangerous potential to provide a comparable vehicle with which to take possession of an individual? And he refers back to a famous movie, The Exorcist, Oscar-winning film, The Exorcist, that gave a chilling real-life exorcism, and it became an iconic movie play. In fact, a neighbor of ours in California, where we lived, the husband of my wife's best friend, actually worked on with the key actress of The Exorcist. I remember that vividly. It was the talk of the town, so to speak. If a Ouija board has served in the past as a medium through which a demonic is able to communicate with an unwitting subject, could it be that AI has an equally dangerous potential to provide a comparable vehicle in which to take possession of an individual? This attorney, James Herson, says, in many cases, AI is acting as a type of modern-day Ouija board of the digital kind. Platforms appear to be friendly, both platforms, at least initially. Both platforms are able to present personalities that appear to have superior knowledge. And both platforms have the pattern of luring one another seemingly harmless pretenses, only to later reveal a hidden darkness. Beware of demons, he says, that lurk in the technological shadows. Now, we ask ourselves the question, well, can AI serve an advanced ministry, or does ministry advance AI? Who serves who? Is it sort of an interaction between the two of them? As for me and my house, I refuse to use it. I refuse to use it openly. There's no reason for it. Why would I want to listen to AI? If I ask Google a question up on the upper bar there, guess what responds? I get an AI response. I know it says AI response. So how do I look at that? Do I take that as gospel? Absolutely not. All it is an assembly of information that was gathered through collective algorithms from information that has been provided digitally over time to create something that has the semblance of truth. It may be true. It may be partly true. It may not be true at all in terms of its implications. How am I going to discern that if I'm relying upon that for truth? Can I present that to you who are relying upon me to tell you the truth? Can I, with a straight face, present that to you without disclosing, well, this is what AI says? No, that's why if I use that as a threshold to present something, I will always identify it. Just like I identify who writes a certain article. James Herson, Today, Jeff Bayard, or John Stone Street and Glenn Sunshine. Then also talked about the book. Remember the book that we talked about? When AI Rules the World? Yeah, by Handel Jones. That's on our website, too. $25 will put it in your hands. We give credit to the people that write these things, and they're responsible for what they say. So I'm not going to take personal responsibility for what they say. I'm going to do my best to assemble for you the things that I believe are true and worthy of continued dissemination to you so as not to lead to deception, because we want to keep the main thing the main thing. It's not about sensationalism. We do very little that is sensationalistic here on this program, purposely. We don't do that, because we want to see people's lives change, not based upon sensationalism. We're not here to entertain people. Now, you might be entertaining in some way, because we present so much here. People wonder, how in the world can you gather this much information every day? But that's not what it's about. It's not about the information. It's about transformation. The information has to be applied in such a way through the Word of God so that it brings life-giving change, discipline, correction, inspiration, whatever it is that God would have for us to do and see and have. So, are we turning into gods? Yes, that's the effort. Whether it's transhumanism, transpaganism, technopaganism, whatever you want to call it. The conclusion of Technocracy News and Trends is this: every citizen on planet Earth should deeply consider the counterfeiting messianic implications. Now you know why I put this in the book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. Transhumanism are piggying their own goals onto the pandemic to trigger human 2.0. Technocracy is to society what transhumanism is to humans that live in it. Both are extremely dangerous for all humankind and must be rejected before it is too late to stop them. In other words, friends, a counterfeit pseudo-Messiah is being ready to preempt the coming of the long-awaited Messiah, the hope of Israel, the growing hope of humanity worldwide. Unfortunately, the technological chaos that's being created in feverish pursuit of a human-created God and self-immortality is creating camouflage and cover for godless scientists in their desperate attempt at technological salvation. Closing statements of the chapter, The Scientific Salvation, in my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. It contains many, many, many other chapters about different aspects, things that are competing to become Messiah, almost all of which will merge together in one great presentation to compel almost every man, woman, and child into a false churchianity, Christianity, supported by a false Messiah. And the majority of the planet will say, we must have arrived on the threshold of the pearly gates. How about you? Get a copy of the book, Messiah, $22, but it's $18 on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Become a partner, friends. Don't forget that. Become a partner. I believe God will bless you, and you'll be blessed.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.